You know, what we do in this life doesn't just affect us. What we do in this life affects other people and does things for other people. And what we have in this life and what we do in this life, we do it expecting for other people to be touched. And people are touched, people are blessed, people are moved by the power of God and by our own actions. And very often, folks, what we do is not just some little something, but it's something we believe in, something we trust in and hope in. And I looked in the Old Testament and I found out that David and his men went out to battle and they came back. They bore awful burdens. Their wives had been stolen, their children had been stolen, their sweethearts had been stolen. It was terrible what they went through with. And then when they get back, what do? Well, they have to go through a whole business of heartache and trouble and trial, whatnot going on. But when we look at what happened to them, I have to realize that what's going on in my life sometimes is so big, or bigger than we can imagine what's going on in our life. And there's no doubt that what I just came through is coloring the sermon that I'm talking about right now. But I need to tell you that we come up against things in life that we really can't handle, not by ourselves, not by our lonesome. We cannot help things. When people get in a place right now, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with Democrats and Republicans, whole bunch of stuff going on with people that are in one place. And you know what? We don't have any control of it. They elect who they want to elect. They vote for who they want to vote for. It's all done somewhere else. We have to endure it. So when we come out to church, to work, you say, oh, it don't affect me. Have you been to Walmart lately? Have you been to places where they sell stuff lately? Yes, it does affect you. Everything there affects you. Everything there touches you. So you need that. So when we look at what's going on, we have to say, there are things too big for us. For instance, tomorrow, it can't happen at my age, but you young people, this could one day happen to you. And we've been there when it did happen to us. Supposing, you know, you come out and one day they come up with an envelope. It's one of those yeller envelopes with a window in it. And they come up and they hand it to you. And you say, well, what's this whole thing? I don't want that. You can't do that. You know what that old thing is? That's a draft notice. That says, we expect you at the courthouse steps next Monday morning at 10 o'clock. We expect you to be there and ready to leave, and the whole crowd has to get in the bus. I've been there, been in that line. The whole crowd has to get in that bus and leave, and they have to go. You don't have any choice about that. You've been told to report for duty, and you have to do it. You have no choice but to report for duty. So we all are subject to burdens and things that we have to carry that we don't have any control of. We can't control the government, can't control our people that are on the battlefield. I mean, planes are taking off and crashing every day. Things are happening every day that's changing your world. You say, well, look at that stuff over in Israel. That don't amount to nothing. Honey, it amounts to everything. God's strength is all that holds the whole world together. And my brothers and sisters, we need to recognize that we're going to have to face things that are too big for us to handle by ourselves. Because they have control of it. You say, who is they? You know, I really don't know who they is. I think I've met they a time or two, but I really don't know who they is. But I tell you what about they. They control so much of our lives that it's not funny. And we have to pray and seek God to force the issue on those things that we go through with. So when I look at what's going on, I have to realize that all of this, people were drafted into the services. People were, what about Abraham when he went to rescue the king of Sodom and Gomorrah? What about him? Did he ask those servants? Did he say, now, you five servants can go to the war. The rest of you go home, be happy. It don't happen that way, folks. When Abraham drafted them, he drafted all 300 of the soldiers that he had with him. And he took them out and he put them on the battlefield. Now they won. They won. They won the battle. They won over what they had. You say, well, that's great, that's good. It is, except think about it. The people that are drafted, the people that are taken, the people that are facing these things that we face, you know what about them? I'll tell you what about them. We don't have any choice. They do it, they still do it. And they still are there for us. And we have to go when they call. Now, when we look at our lesson today, we have to realize that Abraham and all those people back there, they were drafted into things that they didn't believe in. You take Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't choose to be in Babylon. They didn't choose to be thrown in a fiery furnace. They didn't choose to be given the lion's den. But they had it to do. And because they had it to do, my friends, that changes the whole equation. So we trust, as we look at these things, that the circumstances draw us in. You say, well, do we ever have any positive or good things to take up as we do? Are they ever there so that we can do what we do? Well, I don't think that Abraham had any choice about meeting Melchizedek. Melchizedek would have been Jesus Christ really in the flesh. And Melchizedek was a good thing to happen. Going down the road, Abraham and his servants met something good that was happening. But it always doesn't work out that way. It always isn't that way. You see, sometimes it goes the other way. We gain good things, and we gain things to the end that makes us understand that we too have to answer calls. We too have to give in to what Mother Nature gives us sometimes, and we don't have time to fool with it or to play with it. We don't have time to give it away. So when we look and we see afar off the things that we need to see, folks, Abraham was 75 years old when he got his first call for God. When he got his second call for God, he was 175 years old. And all of that would make a difference. And you say, well, I can't go because I'm old. That would not be your choice in certain circumstances. So brothers and sisters, we come before God this morning. We come begging His presence and His truth, and we come facing battles that are too big for us to fight by ourselves. Too bad for us to go through. I mean, losing a child, don't raise your hands, but losing a child is something that's terrible to have to go through with. Losing your job, losing your positions in the community are too hard for you to deal with. So my brothers and sisters this morning, and I will not belabor these points. We come before God and we bow our faces to the ground for him. And what Abraham saw and they all saw far off, we follow in their footsteps. And when the day comes that we have to carry the burden, then we do it. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Father God, I thank you for your blessings and mercies and your grace. I thank you for your fellowship, and I thank you for the gospel that has come and saved us. And Father, in saving us, you have kept your word, and your spirit has delivered us from the powers of Satan. And we pray that God will be with us and teach us his way and his word. I'm going to walk out the back door and take a little rest because that's all I can really do. God bless you as you sing. Good to hear the Holy Ghost speaking through you. And we pray that God's Spirit will be with you and touch you. Amen. Would somebody help me down off of here?